Would you get a Bible this morning? Let's open up together to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, if you'd turn there with me. His name that I want to share with you this morning was Hugh Latimer, not the actor, but a preacher in the Church of England in the 1500s, Hugh Latimer. And he was preaching one day, and he was in a special spot because the King of England attended his service. And he was going to preach a truth that day that he knew was not going to make the King very happy. Have you ever thought about saying something that you knew would probably make someone unhappy? I mean, we're already afraid of public speaking. But it can make us really unnervous when we have something to share that won't put a smile on someone's face, right? And I think about myself, if I were in his shoes, I want to be liked. I want to be well thought of. I don't want to offend people, especially people who I believe are really important. And we're not told this, but I can imagine that Mr. Hugh Latimer was a bit nervous when he got up to preach. And so at the beginning of the sermon, he did something interesting. He had an out loud conversation with himself so that the King and the people could hear. And he said this, quote, "Latimer, Latimer, do you remember that you are speaking before the high and mighty King Henry VIII, who has the power to command you to be sent to prison, and who can have your head cut off if it please him? Will you not take care to say nothing that will offend royal ears?" Why do I tell you this? Most of us won't be in a situation like that. Every one of us, though, will be in a situation where we will be tempted to be afraid of speaking up about Jesus. It happens before large crowds. It happens before small groups. It can even happen one-on-one. And it happens before people we think are really important or who are really important to other people. Every one of us, even in the day in which we live, will face the pressure to, quote, keep our religion private. And maybe you've already experienced some of this. Maybe you've been in a situation like this. Were you tempted to be afraid? Was it nervous? There's good news for us because Jesus knew this temptation would come to us, would come to his followers. And so he has some very important instruction for us this morning. And let's read it together. So would you stand with me as we listen to God's word from Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 26. Listen to what Jesus tells his disciples. "So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is God's word. You may be seated. Jesus was sending his disciples into a situation where not everyone would be pleased that the kingdom of heaven was near and that they needed to repent. Not everyone was happy that there was good news. That should blow our minds. But the same is true today. And they could have been, and we can be tempted to fear. But what we need is to be fearless. And Jesus gives us the powerful truth to counter fear as we talk about Jesus, as we make his gospel known in our lives and relationships. What is this truth? Well, it's the truth about who he is. It's the truth of who God is that can help us counter our fear. So we shouldn't be afraid to make Jesus known, to make the gospel known, to make the word of God known, because firstly, a few things about God. Firstly, God is just. I mean, like it or not, God, as revealed in Scripture, is a judge. He calls things what they are, and he makes pronouncements about them. But he is a just judge. The question for us, though, as believers, is how is that encouraging for us? How can that help us overcome fear? Well, God being just means a few things are true. One is that evil can't hide. Because Jesus says, have no fear of them. Why? For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. A lot of work, guys, happens. A lot of work against the gospel to sabotage the gospel message and us who follow Jesus. Some of it's done way out in the open for everybody to see. A lot of it is done under the guise of other things. You might be familiar with this. Made-up charges. Accusation of bigotry. And hatefulness. And people doing wicked things where no one sees. I mean, in the town where my wife and I lived before we came here, there was a very pro-life, very pro-Christian pregnancy center. One day after Roe versus Wade was overturned, someone came to that building in the very early, early hours of the morning when it was dark and set fire to that building. And they still haven't found who did it, to my knowledge. But this passage assures us that evil cannot hide forever. There will be justice done, ultimately. The ways you and I might be laughed at, hated, kept out, sinned against, even in physical danger for following Jesus, they aren't just left hanging out there as if God had nothing to do with it. No, evil will be exposed for what it is because God is just. He does not leave stones unturned. And because he's just, not only can't evil hide, the word can't be stopped. Because nothing is covered that will not be revealed, he says, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Evil can't hide, righteousness can't hide either. What does that mean for us? That means God will vindicate our faithfulness one day. All the ways that we have sought to be faithful to him, even behind closed doors where we thought no one would see, God will vindicate our faithfulness. And God judges with absolute perfection and objectivity. No human court can do that. They can gather a lot of facts, but they can't be 100% purely objective about things. God can. And because that's true with him, we don't need to be afraid to make his word known and to make all of it known. Jesus told his disciples things in private, what I say to you in the dark, that he meant for them to bring out into public. That's why we have a Bible as big as we do. It's meant to be public. And that means that in spite of the opposition we might face, in spite of intimidation, threats, or whatever, we don't have to take the evil done to us lying down. We are to proclaim God's free grace in the death and resurrection of Jesus to sinners. We're to call out sin as sin. And be clear also that that is not God's intention for His good creation. We're to tell others that Jesus Christ really is Lord. And that truth, it can't be stopped. Church, it hasn't stopped and been stopped for approximately 2,000 years. There's no way it's going to be stopped now. People have tried. Powerful people have tried and failed every single time. One of the most ridiculous things you can think of is to try to shut God up. He can't be. The word cannot be stopped, and it's not going to stop now because He is just. And so we should not be afraid. We know this to be true, right? We know that He's just. We know that His word can't be stopped. We know that evil won't ultimately prevail. But isn't it tempting to get the story a little twisted and confused when we actually experience it? Right? To be threatened with death, as many of our brothers and sisters are in the world, unless they renounce Jesus. The knowledge that God is just may not keep them or us from being hated or hurt or even killed. But we should still not fear to follow Jesus and make Him known. For this second reason, God is not only just, He is sovereign. He rules over all things. He is the one who is in control. He has absolute power. I challenge you, read this book, read Scripture, and you point out one place where God is actually not in control. And if He is not out of control in the incredible story of redemption here, He is not out of control right now, because right now is part of this story. So how should we respond to God's rule, then, to His sovereignty? Well, verse 28 tells us we should not fear people. He says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Let's put it another way. If someone hunts you down and kills you, why should you be afraid of them anywhere in that process? Why should you, an eternal creature, be afraid of someone who has only finite ability to end your physical life, which is going to end anyway? And it's not because you might have a cabinet of things that could kill them right back. Seriously, why should we give more power to people than they already have? And I'm right there with you. How much of our lives are spent and wasted because we fear people? How much of yours and my life is caring too much about what others think about us? Caring too much about how they'll feel about us. Too much about being invited to their next event. Too much about getting some recognition from them. And we live our lives terrified of their rejection. And what we end up doing when we do that is we care too little about eternity with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, do we believe the wisdom of God in this verse? that people's power is actually small? Because when they're against God's people, they can't touch our eternity? We should not fear people. Instead, God says, we should fear God. Rather, verse 28, fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Wait a second, Aaron. I thought you were saying, don't be afraid. Yes, but who has this passage been telling us not to fear? Anyone who is not God. Anyone who opposes the work of God in Jesus Christ through His faithful followers. That's who we should not fear, because they're not sovereign. The Lord is. Who we fear matters for eternity. And the kind of fear matters. I want to commend a book to you. Ed Welch wrote a book called When People Are Big and God Is Small. And he says there are two types of fear. There is a terror fear, which makes us want to flee things. And there is a worship fear that draws us closer because we're in awe. Worship fear is interchangeable with the words that we use all the time, like worship, rely on, trust, hope in. And we rely on, we worship, we trust, we hope in what or who we believe to be awe-inspiring, who we believe to be worthy, who we believe to be truly great. So Christians, we should fear the Lord because we believe He is great, He is worthy, He is awe-inspiring, He is worthy of our worship. We should fear Him and follow Him because He is sovereign. And at the same time, that raises a scary reality, doesn't it? Because this encouragement to us to follow Jesus, this is an encouragement to us to follow Jesus fearlessly. And it's a warning. Because that God we're supposed to follow, who is just and sovereign, has the ability to destroy both soul and body in hell. And maybe you wonder this. If God is just and sovereign, and He is, will He be against us who said we trusted Him by faith if, for example, we messed up? What are the opportunities that you've been given to talk about Jesus, to share some of His word, to testify about His work in your life, and you blew it? We must follow Jesus fearlessly for a third reason. God is not just just, He's not just sovereign, God is caring. And what does this passage say that God cares about? It says He cares about the little things. Look at verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Think about this. The awe-inspiring sovereign God ruling over all the universe, who decides who goes to heaven, who goes to hell, who decides right from wrong, all those great and mighty things, He cares when one of His most common creatures, a creature that was sold to poor people for two for a penny, He cares and knows and rules over when one of those little sparrows either flies to the ground or dies. Or if you didn't think that was small enough, Jesus goes on, but even all the hairs on your head are all numbered. Now, as been mentioned earlier, some of us may have more than others. But the average head of human hair has between 100,000 and 500,000 hairs. Can you imagine that? What does that mean? That means God is an immaculate accountant. These little things are part of His creation, and they don't go missing. He cares about the little things. And if He cares about such little things like these, He cares about greater things too. That's why Jesus says, "Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." It's true, church, we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Romans 12, verse 3 says that. But if you are God's child through repentance and faith in His beloved Son, Jesus, don't think for a second that you, everything about you, is not precious to Him. You are loved. You are loved by the just, sovereign, and caring God. And so, when you go through suffering, when you are hated for loving Jesus, when you are mocked for worshiping a God who even cares about the hairs on your head, don't be afraid. He cares about greater things. You! Do not fear what the world says. Do not fear what Satan accuses you of. Do not fear the inner lies that whisper that God doesn't care about you. He cares and loves you so much so that He will even use the suffering and evil in your life to make you more the you in His Son that He intends you to be. Listen to Jesus and follow Jesus fearlessly. God's justice should take away our fear. God's sovereignty should take away our fear of people and cause us to worship Him. God's care should take away our worries. But there's one more truth of God that will help us fearlessly follow Him, and it's this: God is saving. It seems so obvious, right? It's so essential for the Christian life, to discipleship, to know, believe, and bank on the truth that God saves. But it needs saying again today, because we battle fear today, don't we? We battle unbelief today. And we will need this truth when the day comes where we are pressured to keep quiet about the Jesus we say we love. And to help us counter that fear, to follow Him fearlessly, God, at the end of this passage, gives us two things. He gives us first a warning and then a promise. And this is the warning. He does not save the one who rejects Christ. Let these words sink in from verse 33. Whoever denies Me before men, I also will deny before My Father who is in heaven. What does that mean? What does it mean that Jesus, what does it mean to deny Jesus before men, before people? It means to be silent in both your words and your life about the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's to disbelieve when the chips are down and your reputation, your job, your everything, even your physical life is on the line, and say, "I guess I don't really believe Him." It's to be faithless. And Jesus warns us that if that's us, no matter who we might think we be, if we deny Him, He's going to stand before the throne of His Father, God's throne, where everyone's eternity is decided. And He's going to say, I don't know them either. He's not one of your children, Father. My blood isn't covering him, because my blood changes the ones who are covered by it. Brothers and sisters, do you know the Jesus who is not lying when he says this? That he will do this if we say we don't know him, if we keep quiet about him. Remember Peter? When the Lord could have used a friend, Peter was out in the courtyard, fearfully cursing to a few unimportant people. I don't know Jesus. And in case we didn't get the picture the first time, he said it three times. Church, I have been silent about Jesus in my life. I've missed opportunities to show the love of Christ. Not just love, the love of Christ to people. My life has not always lined up with what I've said. And Scripture says God is not rejoicing over that. I greatly regret that. Does that resonate at all with your life? So if it does, let's ask the question together. Why didn't Jesus do verse 33 to Peter? Why might there still be hope for us? It's because God is saving. He warns that he does not save the one who rejects Christ so that people will heed the warning. Let's heed the warning. For he promises not just that the one who rejects Christ will not be saved, he saves everyone who does confess Christ. Look at verse 32, he says it. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Why are we so sure that Peter didn't get kicked out of the kingdom of heaven? It's because denial was not the end of his story. And denial does not have to be the end of your story or my story. Peter repented and believed. You remember in John 21? The awkward conversation on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus asked Peter, quote, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? What did Peter say? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Jesus said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved, the passage says, because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, You know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Three confessions for every single denial. That's what it is to acknowledge Jesus. It's not to make ourselves more acceptable to Him. It's not to try harder. It's not to try to get to heaven by skirting around Him. It's not to give up either. It's to do what Romans 10 verse 9 says. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus promises that if we do this before people, if we testify, declare allegiance to, and confess Jesus as Lord, if we declare that He rules over our lives and that though we aren't the most faithful of people, He is always faithful. And our hope is in Him, not in us. Jesus promises that He will stand before the great throne of our Father and say, I know Him. I know her. Here's one of your children with me, Father. I rescued him, or I rescued her with my blood. He saves the one who confesses Christ. You who are listening to my voice, have you confessed this publicly with your voice from your heart? You will have opportunities to do this in your life. God brings them. And though there might be pressure to keep quiet, do not be afraid. Pray for boldness. Trust the Lord and acknowledge Him. We're going to try to have a baptism service coming up. And I want to encourage you to be baptized, if you've not done so, as a public way to acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior before people. You and I are going to have opportunities, even this week, to follow Jesus fearlessly. It might be one-on-one, just in a conversation with somebody. It might be in a smaller group. It might be before a great crowd. It might be before important people. Let us not fear when the temptation to not offend the King of England comes, so to speak. But we should follow Jesus fearlessly as Hugh Latimer did. For he continued his sermon by saying to himself out loud again before the king, Latimer, Latimer, do you not remember that you are speaking before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, before him at whose throne Henry VIII will stand, before him to whom one day you will have to give account yourself? Latimer, Latimer, be faithful to your master and declare all of God's word. We must follow Jesus fearlessly. So, Lord Jesus, we ask for your help. For this is not something that we can just drum up in ourselves. This is not something, as you well know, because you are able to sympathize with our weaknesses, because you have been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. You know that this is a temptation for us, and it is a struggle for us, and it is in many cases a struggle for us, some more than others. And Lord, we don't, in this country right now, we don't usually face the threat of death. But we can still be afraid, Father. We can still be afraid, Lord Jesus. So we ask for your help. Not to resort to small talk. When the beauty and the glory and the wonder and the majesty of Jesus can come from our lips, even if in what we might think is a small way. Lord, help us. Show mercy to us. Forgive us when we have failed in the past. Lord, we repent and ask that you would be faithful and just, as your word says, to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Fill us with your Spirit, the Spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Help us to make you known. We pray in your name. Amen.